Age brings us wisdom and hopefully keeps us from repeating past mistakes, and that's great. But age doesn't always protect us from making mistakes in new situations that we haven't previously encountered. So it is with our money. Every new stage of life brings new financial strategies that we should ideally follow, but at every stage, we find new ways not to follow those strategies, and those money mistakes cause us to lose out and jeopardize our financial security. Moreover, as the economy and demographics change, we can be assured that the mistakes we make will not be static, so the mistakes of current generations aren't the same missteps that their predecessors struggled to avoid. So, here's a closer look at some of the biggest money mistakes we make, decade by decade, and how to avoid them. So, let's begin with those of you that are in your 20s. I have often talked about the power of compounding and starting early with investing and saving. So the first full decade of adult life, your 20s, should be about investing as heavily as you can. Yet, numerous studies show that today's 20-somethings just do not take enough risks with investments to build up big future returns. For example, in 2016, a study found that millennials tended to favor retirement accounts with little stock and more guaranteed income, choices that would bring skimpy returns over time. When asked why they chose such a conservative portfolio, participants said things such as, "I honestly know nothing about money right now," and explained that a portfolio with a lower risk level seemed like the best option. A majority of these millennials were selecting retirement portfolios more appropriate for employees nearing retirement, rather than those that are starting their own careers. So the best way to counter this classic money mistake is to recognize this as what we call risk aversion, and by knowing it, avoid it. So instead of taking on the riskiest financial investments, millennials should look at options such as target date funds, which start out with riskier allocations that gradually become more conservative as they age. All right, what about when you're in your 30s? More so than in previous generations, today's 30-year-olds start making huge adult commitments, such as getting married and having children or buying a house. Yet, many go into that situation with heightened expectations and think they're entitled to the same standard of living they had when they left their parents' homes for college and career. But what 30-somethings forget is that it took their parents decades to build up to that stage, and their quest to replicate that lifestyle too early often leads to splurging on things like trying to live too large beyond their means, which often leads to excess credit card debt, excess spending instead of saving, which means they miss out on the eighth wonder of the world. What is that? Compounding interest. So 30-somethings should focus on living prudently, saving, investing, and building up their nest eggs. Now, by our 40s, we tend to be about halfway through our working lives, just as bigger expenses enter the picture. Two of these in particular can be rife with error: the house and the kids. Many people spend too much on buying a home, often disproportionately more than they can afford, and they don't work aggressively enough to pay off their mortgages. A bigger home comes with a bigger mortgage, higher property taxes, and higher maintenance and utility bills. So you end up saving much less than you could. And this can lead to less than optimal income in retirement because your nest egg suffers. What you want to do instead is ask yourself, when do I want my mortgage paid off? If you're 40 and buy a big house, a 30-year mortgage isn't going to be paid off until you're 70. So even in retirement, when you may not have any income coming in, you may be forced to work just so you can keep your house. And working doesn't get any easier as you age. So seriously consider buying a house that you can afford and can pay off well before you hit retirement. So it's an asset you can count on, not a liability you have to keep paying for. Now, others in their 40s find themselves spending too much on their children. The big cost, especially in the later years of the decade, is college. But even before that, expenses can get out of hand on sports, extracurricular activities, tuition, or private school. So make sure you don't go overboard. As a neat little strategy, instead of buying something for them, give them a strict allowance and train them to manage their own expenses. What you'll find is that their demands for expensive things will fall as they'll choose not to spend their own money versus your money. So you save and they get a valuable early life lesson on living within their means. It's a win-win. Now here's another twist. Supporting children carries more complications when people must also care for aging parents. It's what financial advisors call the sandwich effect, which is different from years past. That's because many people had children later in life and have to care for kids at the same time they may have to help older parents. In the past, people would marry early, have kids early, and there was usually a gap between when responsibilities towards children ended and care of aging parents began. So plan your finances with everything in mind and keep a lid on your spending. Now, in the 50s, one nightmare scenario is the realization that you might not have enough money stashed away for retirement. Adults now live much longer lives than they used to, and retirement funds now need to last up to 40 years and beyond sometimes. These realities can be compounded by lifestyle creep. People in their 50s often develop lifestyles they can't maintain in retirement and struggle to pay for them in retirement. People tend to kick up their heels in their 50s when the kids are gone and you've paid for college, and they ramp up their standards of living. A different temptation for those who feel ill-prepared for retirement is entrepreneurship. Maybe you have a lifelong dream, or it's a perceived necessity. More baby boomers than previous generations are trying to start their own business, and that can bring great rewards, such as an easier transition into retirement. But it can also be a very dangerous bet. You're putting all your eggs in your human capital, and often your savings too. Sometimes your human capital, you know, the skills you've developed throughout your career, may not be as valuable in the market as you think, and employment options and paychecks often shrink with age. So as you hit your 50s, take a more conservative approach to your finances and try to avoid panicking and doing a Hail Mary at this age. I support entrepreneurship, but just be a little bit more careful, a little more prudent if you start to be an entrepreneur in your 50s. Now, in the 60s and beyond, as we get older, our personal balance sheets grow more complicated. Now, numerous recent studies on aging reveal an unpleasant truth. Our analytical abilities can't keep up with the complexity, and since we're living longer, that makes it even more likely that we'll have to deal with cognitive impairment. A recent study found that our peak financial decision-making age is 53, based on how people at different age groups made a handful of financial choices. Yet most people overestimate their capabilities and fail to delegate important tasks as their capacities diminish, which potentially leads to mistakes like not reading the fine print on investments. So people should delegate financial responsibilities before cognitive degeneration sets in their 50s, 60s, instead of their 70s or 80s. So stay ahead of your age curve and keep yourself financially informed at all times.